your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Our chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make dab in the middle of it. Grass make dab in the middle. We are grass make dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. This second hour, we're going to be injecting into our discussion here. We're going to start off with an interview that I had with Ole Domegaard, the leading liberty and freedom, you could say, fighter in Europe. And we're going to be discussing some predictions that he's made. And he did predict this Florida shooting. He says that there are clues left there during the event that point to a future event. But anyway, listen to this. We get into a lot of things. Very wide ranging and so forth, and listen to this carefully, and then we'll discuss it. I'll make a few comments, and then we'll get into some clips that I have on the shooting that occurred in Florida on February 14th at the Douglas High School there. So listen carefully to this, and then I'll make a few comments at the end. Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. Welcome to our program, Ole Domegaard. And are you still in Bali, Ole?
No, I'm in another area of Indonesia at the moment. So, but I'm really looking into what happened here in 2002, and also the latest part on the type of idiot thing.
Okay. Well, I read your five questions on the Florida shooting.
Did I put five questions out there? Yeah, maybe I did.
Yeah, I think you did, and they were all real cogent and very important questions. Or, you know.
Yeah, no, it's a whole, it's just another one. And this one I predicted about 3 months ago.
Yes, you did. That carpet in the room up there in Las Vegas had those letters in it.
Yeah, it was such a bizarre clue.
Yeah, I've got it running if you want to just talk like this.
Okay. Well, in about 3.5 months ago or something like that, I went out on several different shows pointing out these bizarre clues. As you know, I mentioned this in many, many interviews, that the people behind these operations, they keep leaving hidden clues in the evidence from different shootings and some of their assassinations as well. And I've been informed by insiders that the reason they do this is because the way they interpret the law of karma is that if they tell us what they're up to, what they're planning, and we do not react, then the bad karma is on our shoulders, not theirs. So since the year 2014, when I really found out that this is true, I've been trying to find these clues. As soon as something happens, I'm really looking for them because I know they are there somewhere. And due to that, I've been able to predict quite a lot of these false flag operations. And this one, the latest Parkland one, was yet another one. Just a while ago, I predicted the one in the Kentucky shooting as well, where there was very strange clues left in some of the fires in California. One of them was in a news coverage, a TV coverage, from one of these fires that are very bizarre, and I would strongly suggest have been done with directed energy weapons in California to create these fires and and sort of mass evacuate these areas, get rid of the population for different reasons and so on. And in that, in one of these TV coverage, there was suddenly photos of two states, big like vaults, where it said Fort Knox on them, inside one of these burned out houses.
Really? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and just says Fort Knox on both of them, and it was just like safe, you know, like the metal, big, big ones. And it didn't make any sense to the rest of the story, so I just, right away, this is the way they communicate, so right away I pointed that out, and I went out and said, please be aware that there might be something going down around Fort Knox, also because of this whole thing with the gold treasure in Fort Knox and around there.
Right.
And then this Kentucky shooting happened just a month or so later after that, and that is within driving distances from Fort Knox. So I pointed that one out. But then this one in Florida, the Parkland shooting, that one, after the Las Vegas shooting, there were these very strange photos of the suicide of Stephen Paddock, the alleged shooter in Las Vegas. And I was contacted by a woman in Florida who said that the blood puddle underneath his head, the shape of that was a bit odd, and she said it's exactly like the county in Florida where I'm living. And then when studying that puddle of blood, I noticed that the carpet, the pattern of the carpet, which is also very strange in that it looks very dirty and so on in this luxury hotel, the empty shells and the stripes on the carpet, together they formed the letters F, L-A, and then like an arrow pointing upwards. So I went out and said, please notice, and I marked sort of the shape of the puddle, compared it to the map, the Florida map, which is very, this county is very close to this Fort Lauderdale airport, where just I think some 30 months ago there was another fake shooting that I also predicted. And so I said, is it possible here that there will be another one coming up? That they're going to use the same people involved as last time. That is very often what they do. They use the same crisis actors, the same people to set the whole thing up, the safety event, the same people in the police force, and military, and so on. And also, I mean, Florida is the backyard of the CIA. That's where they flourished the most over the years. And so, I also love the name of the Fort Lauderdale Airport. It's called Hollywood, because this is really what we're seeing here, like staged events that are, it's just filmed setups that has nothing to do with real events. And then it turned out, boom, this thing in Parkland High School here turned out to be very, very close to where I predicted that a possible next force strike would take place. And now there are new hidden clues in this one, which I think is pointing towards Dallas in Texas.
Pointing to what now?
Pointing towards a possible upcoming force strike operation, this time in Dallas, Texas.
In Dallas?
Because here you've got, they handpicked these locations, they handpicked the schools and so on where they are carrying these things out. And here we have Parkland High School. And Parkland is the hospital where JFK died.
All right, Parkland Hospital.
Then you have Parkland Hospital. So in your subconscious, boom, you at least if you're involved in these kind of cases, boom, it says Dallas right away. Then you have the name of the alleged shooter. His name is Cruz, and there's been, in recent years, there's been a lot of controversy around a man that was seen together with Lee Oswald in New Orleans some time before the assassination, where they were handing out leaflets. And this man has been identified as Rafael Cruz, the father of one of these top politicians that have been
Senator
there.
Cruz, yeah, it
exactly.
Is his father.
And where Donald Trump was one of the people who were there trying to expose this whole connection with the JFK assassination. And also there are other things pointing towards Dallas. And there is a... They have called for, you know, crisis actors and people to help them with a setup in Dallas or around in that area in, I think it's around the 18th of March.
18th of March. Is it Crowdsource that's doing that?
No, it's not Crowdsource this time, but or not Craigslist either, but I have from different insiders that have been sending me information about this one. So I just want to point it out that there's a possible new one, and if so, that would be in Dallas, and
you know,
around there somewhere.
You know, John D. Wells is on the air up there right now.
Okay, good for him.
He's a good contact for Dallas area in general.
That's for sure. And also, when I was one of the speakers at the JFK assassination conference last year, and that the Crowley Palace is right outside where the alleged shooting of these police officers in Dallas were a few years ago, which was also yet another fake event. There, it's very, very bizarre when you get into this world, because the more you look into it, there are a few real ones, and there are so many fake ones that are just part of the whole propaganda movement that are pushing this whole agenda on us, based on so many of these fake.
Well, you're right on top
terror
of it. There's an American, you know what I mean, Gladio operation that's been underway for a number of years in this country.
That is so true.
And like you said, some are totally fake, like the Sandy Hook, and then some have some truth to them, you know, and then others don't, are just totally, you know, wildcat, whatever, you know.
Yeah, and here very often you will see the same crisis actors appear. Like we have, for instance, there's this young guy here in Florida called David Hogg, who he just took center stage right away, becoming like a voice for the young ones against guns. And that one of the things is that he was very recently on TV in California about some ridiculous thing down on the beach with a beach guard down there. But what are the chances that the same individual appears on two sides of the nation, one in California, then boom, right away in Florida? Also, he is, there's one of the girls that was appeared after the Kentucky shooting, which when you look at the faces, I mean, it's the same individual, just with long hair. And I think they started to use that as well, like crisis actors with this unisex type of appearance, and they just make minor alterations, haircuts, different hairstyles, and so in one time they're a young woman, in the other one they're a young man, so the same individual.
Oh man.
There's another girl, young boy in Kentucky as well, that is, I don't know, but it looks very, very similar to one of the other witnesses now, or survivors, as they're called, in Florida at the Parkland shooting here, where she has sort of like very short hair now. And this, I'm sorry, I don't have her name right now. I think it's a Spanish name, but very short hair. And she's standing together with a senator that is holding her and saying, oh my God, she's so wonderful. She's such a rock star. That is his words in his tweet about this woman. I say, if she suddenly has a very successful career as a singer, then that is the payoff for her being a crisis actress in this.
Right. They pull them into the entertainment system. you know, like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a payoff for individuals like that. Then you have the whole setup with no CCTV footage as usual, very few emergency vehicles, military and police are there when the shooting happens. There were two drills this day in the school, which by the way seems to be a military school, not an ordinary school. And the first fire drill was in the morning, and then the second fire drill was like 10 minutes before the shooting happened. Then you have some of the witnesses, like there's one mother who's now being interviewed. She's all terrified and so on. She was one of the people at the Fort Lauderdale airport shooting. And so on. You know, it's like a recycling of the same individuals over and over and over again.
Man.
And I just want to point out also that it's very important to understand that this is not an American agenda. It's not a UK agenda. It is a global agenda. It's connected to the New World Order, the way of their efforts to take over this world by the use of fake terror to control it, to allow, get us to beg for more and more protection. And it was at the Fort Lauderdale airport shooting where there was a very bizarre individual called Santa Paul from Nome in Alaska. I mean, he looks exactly like Santa, you know, the real Santa. And he's there in neon colored clothes, bright green, bright red, with a big dog. And you would see him in the background also being interviewed. So when he was being interviewed with this bizarre name and all these things, I thought, oh, here's another one. This is like 13 months ago or something like that. And so I thought, oh, here's another possible clue. So I was looking for Santa Paul or St. Paul, you know, in Minneapolis. I was looking at St. Paul in London. I was looking everywhere. I could not find anywhere where they were planning for that. And then, boom, the attack happened in Melbourne, the alleged car attack where this young guy, his name is Gordon Sola, almost like a chief, where he was driving around in circles and then followed by private police cars, a long lower row of private police cars. It is said that he drove down the street and then killed several people on the pavement. We're looking into this very deeply, absolute stage thing as well. And the thing is that this happened right outside a very iconic building in Melbourne, Australia, called the Flint Station, train station. And right opposite that is the St. Paul's Cathedral.
Really?
So it was not St. Paul, Minneapolis, it was not St. Paul, London, it was St. Paul, Melbourne. I just didn't figure it out in time. But that is how they do it. And that is also how you can see how these events are connected. And it was in Melbourne that, when studying all the video footage and so on, around that attack, the car attack in Melbourne, where I found tracks pointing straight towards Big Ben in London, because very often when you see footage from these things, that if somebody's filming before something happens, you have to ask yourself, why are they filming before the event itself? It is because they are inside it. That's the whole thing. They're part of it. So and it's very often in the first few seconds of that film, in the center of whatever they film, that is where the clue will be. And here, after that car attack, or this was filmed before, you will see the Flint Station in Melbourne, this train station, very iconic old building. But in the other end of that train station is a tower that looks almost identical to Big Ben. So I went out and said, you know, maybe I'm going to make an ass of myself and look absolutely stupid, but I'm going to point out and say, I believe possibly Big Ben will be the next target. And that was on February 22nd, and then on March the 22nd, the Westminster attack happened right outside Big Ben in London. You know, this is how they leave these clues So it's good news, because you know, then we're not just fumbling around in the dark, not knowing what's going on. If you want to see the truth, they're there, in your face.
Now, I have a name for this international project, okay, that you alluded to. It's called Copper Green.
Okay.
Copper Green.
Nope. Yeah, that's not true. I've heard it before. That is true. Now you remind me.
Many
times these operations have different names in different countries, but you will see that they're all connected to NATO, the U.S.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're using all the intelligence agencies, coordinating together and taking out troublemakers and adversaries throughout the world.
Yeah, sounds very, very... Yeah. So you will see that these so-called terror attacks, they don't happen just randomly. They're almost always in NATO countries or countries that have different security agreements with NATO and so on. So you need to see this beyond national borders on a high level, where these agencies are working together. So you will find, when you go international, you will find the CIA, Mossad, MI6, sometimes the French intelligence agencies, and so on, Australian, they will all be there. And the FBI as well. I thought that the FBI was supposed to be on American soil, but they're not anymore. And
well,
they started
putting them overseas in the embassies. Remember that?
Yeah,
they started stationing a certain number of FBI agents in every embassy in the world.
Stepping stones, that's how they do it. A little here, a little there, so we don't really notice what's going on.
Now this copper green, Seymour Hersh wrote about that.
I'm sure going to look into
that. And also Anthony Schaefer had it in the index of his book, and the CIA and them made him take it out.
I'm sure going to look into it.
But it has to do with exactly what you're talking about. An Army intelligence agent that had Baghdadi under arrest in 2003 told me about this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And
then I looked it up, and Seymour Hersh was already into after it. But it's not extensively written about by anybody. Okay?
Mm-hmm. It's at the moment I'm in Southeast Asia, and one of the things I'm doing here is looking into the Bali bombings here in 2002, which is one of these alleged terror attacks that I have not looked into before. But my God, this is massive, massive. And it had absolutely nothing to do with Islamic terrorists once again. But it is a massive project. And I just want to point out a few things here that do you know who was first on location looking into this crime? I mean, almost before the Balinese police itself were on location. Who do you think were there?
Who was it?
FBI.
FBI,
how is it even possible for them to get there, you know?
Yeah, because they're stationed at the embassies out here.
No, but we're talking about they were on the crime scene.
No, but what I'm saying is they've had
the crime scene.
They've had them stationed in the embassy, so they were in on it in some way.
Yeah, big time, I tell you, big time. You've got Mossad in the background, CIA.
They're all working together like that. Yeah.
And the thing is, this was not a bomb. They do the exact same trick as with the Oklahoma City bomb and with other bombs like Anders Breivik in Oslo. They claim that they were fertilizer bombs that were used and so on, a suicide bomb, but absolutely not. If I'm correct, I'm still learning a lot about this, trying to figure out what the hell happened. Yeah. But it seems like they were a small group of Islamic terrorists, but also CIA operatives that were sort of being tricked into doing this, because these people were definitely against Western society moving in and wanting them out.
Okay.
So, but But what they did was they had a small bomb that these people were involved in, just a small little thing, and you can hear also witnesses that were there when this happened. It was the Padiklop and the Saritop in Kufa on Bali, and they said there was just like a small little thump, you know, like a, not a major bang or anything like that. And then about 10-12 seconds later, there was an immense explosion that just blew the whole place to smithereens. And when you can, and there were some very brave journalists here that have looked into it. And what they found was that the injuries on the wound, it doesn't match up with fire burns or any type of normal burns at all, nor does the damages to the area. But what they're looking into and what they claim they have found is that they were using mini nukes, or micro nukes, as they also call them. I mean, small atomic weapons. Because you had the exact same damages to the bodies and so on some of the victims as in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, where they were horribly burned, for instance, but the hair was still there. Instead of, if you're burning a normal fire, your hair would burn away as well if you're in intense heat. It doesn't match up at all, and several international experts were looking into these fire burns, and they said, we have no idea what this is. And this was exactly 1 year after 9/11. This was in 2002. The numerology, all of the numbers are there. And also some years later, they executed some of the people that were claimed to have been part of this. They executed them on the 9th of November, which is 9/11 as well. The same numbers as in 9/11. And what happened after, the ones that benefited on the whole thing were, or what the whole result was that Australia came in, helped Indonesia. I mean, this is right on top of Australia, very close to Australia when you look on a map.
Right.
And what Australia did was they moved in right away, because there was 88 of these 202 victims were Australian. So Australia said, well, we have the most injured people or killed people, so we have the right to just move in. And that's what they did. They just moved in and took over together with specific parts of the Indonesian government. And that then led to this whole anti-terror thing in Australia, and the different agreements there as well. Also the war on terror, where Australia joined in a totally different way after these things, now also involving Indonesia, and now being having a continued cooperation, these two countries, Indonesia and Australia. So there's this whole thing. You have to look into who benefited. Was this a few Muslim terrorists that did a fertilizer bomb, or are we looking at a global agenda being played out in front of us? And I would strongly suggest that is what we're seeing.
Yeah, see, JFK was friends with Sukarno over there in Indonesia. But Sukarno was allowing a 1.5 million member Communist Party to exist within Indonesia. There were oil interests and mineral interests out of New Orleans and Texas that wanted to maintain their oil interests in Indonesia. So they mounted a coup against Sukarno and put Suharto in there. So that's where it goes back to, a lot of that, the big politics tied back to that.
Thank you for reminding me of these things. I forgot about that, but that is so true.
But also, Sotero, Obama's father, Colonel Sotero, was in on the liquidation of the communists in Indonesia, and his mother. They were identifying the communists within Indonesia and liquidating them during the Sukarno era, and helped usher in Suharto. Yeah. And JFK was friendly, was a good friend for Sukarno. They finally got rid of him.
You know, these things go back so long. You would see that the same forces are being involved over the years, the same dirty tricks being played out.
I asked Anthony Schaefer about Copper Green, and he avoided answering the question directly on a text message. And he said it's no longer applicable. It's an archaic term. I don't think that's true. I think he knows about it. He just didn't want to say anything.
Very possible, but very often also they keep changing the name of these operations so that we won't be able to keep track of them.
This source I had, David, that was Army Intelligence, said that they're working an international crime syndicate type group, cartel, like Spectre, and they're taking down. They'll go in and start contracting with a real strong man in different countries to take out the troublemakers and all that and help them consolidate power, and they're all for big money. They're turning into a big business internationally, what he said.
No, it's spot on.
Very
easy. You were mentioning Spectre. There's a company called Circle that I think is the real Spectre, more or less, in real life.
Really?
It is a massive company. If you look into it, there's one video called The Biggest Company You Never Heard About. It's S-E-R-C-O, S-E-R-C-O, Serco. And the director at the moment is no one less than Sir Winston Churchill's grandson.
Really?
But they've got their tentacles everywhere. I tell you, everywhere.
How do you spell that name, S-E-R-T-O?
No, C-O. S-E-R-C-O. Serco.
Oh.
Serco. And it's been suggested to me, I haven't been able to get it confirmed, that Serco is actually Permindex and reshaped in a new version.
Well, you know, Le Cercle is a secret organization, Le Cercle. It's one of the most powerful groups in Europe. It's at the top, close to it.
Le Cercle. But how do you spell that?
It's two words, Le Cercle, L-E, and then C-E-R-C-L-E.
Yeah.
It's a Habsburg Catholic Church-founded deal. The church is right in the middle of this whole thing, too. Right in the middle of it. You know, the it just goes on and on, you know. The Knights of Malta and the British are over there with their deals, you know.
It's the same old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, man, I enjoyed the conversation, and
Area, if you want. I'm going to go out and do a lot of more interviews about this, but I need to learn some more first. Within a month or so.
When Ole and I get together on the line, he was out in Indonesia when I interviewed him during this interview, so the connection was not the best. But we have a far-ranging conversation. I think what came up there was Copper Green and Le Cercle and a lot of other things. And he's using a system of prediction that some could describe as revelation of methods. Okay, and I would suggest to the listening audience is go in there and look that term up and dig down into that. It's an occult term, and basically is stating that that these occultists, these black ops that are running these psyops on us, and these psychodramas, you could say, and they're depending on a trauma-based programming type of angle to establish gun controls, a greater number of gun controls, and to soften the American public up, and also to destroy this country and bring it under the control and under the dominance of the New World Order, of which they believe that Americans have way too much freedom and way too much rights with gun rights and too independent from the New World Order that they want to establish. And so this is what we're contending with. We're contending with ultra capitalists that are manipulating the masses into a world communist state, of which they'll be controlled by by doling out benefits and entitlement through entitlement programs. And then at the top, it resembles much more of a corporate fascist system of rule. And so that's basically what is in contention here. And the average individual is not seeing it. But these operations, some of us have described as American Gladio operations. And people that have studied the Gladio, you could say, terrorist acts in Europe will understand that. And there's a good book, and I'll put it up as a listing with this program this hour too, written by Dr. Ganser, and it's entitled NATO Secret Army, and it had to do with the Gladio operations over there in Europe. So anyway, they were Nazi-like operations. There was a slip of the tongue there. But these people are Nazi-like that are running the New World Order. And they didn't just die off after World War II. They brought many of those Nazis to America and resettled them here. And they used some to develop our rocketry and our missile program and things like that. And the others were used to further and delve into a better understanding of how to control individuals through more and more deep-seated, deep research in mind control. But anyway, we've got all kinds of operations that that we studied over the years in these different subjects. Now, getting back to the shooting that occurred on February 14th at this high school there in Florida, in Parkland, Florida. And I believe it's Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. It occurred in Building 12. Now, I'm going to put up on our site a clip that we came by way of. And we don't know who gave it to some of the original researchers. We picked it up on a Twitter, in posting recently. I think it was on Friday. I picked it up Friday evening. But I quickly downloaded and made a copy of it, and I'm going to make a copy of it, available for anyone that listens to this program or comes in and hits this site to download and look at. And it's a very, very disturbing video. And it shows four men leaving the back of the Building 12 from on the eastern exit. And then getting into two men are carrying a very heavy black bag, and then they're loading it into a white pickup with its emergency lights on, with another police vehicle close by about 20 feet away. And then it shows these men loading into that, and they have gear on that would be combat looking gear with bulletproof vests and things like that. And so it's very disturbing. I actually went in on this particular video, and I went in and drilled down in Google Maps, and I found the school and the building of 12 that this shooting occurred in, and I made sure it was oriented right, and I double-checked like fire hydrants out along the street. There was a certain pavement that was marked. It was marked properly. The trees were de-leafed like you would find in autumn. The leaves were not budding out like you would in the summer. And then the shadows from the sun were in the right direction. So it looked like to me there that the video to me was very, very credible. And it showed these men leaving that that building sometime around the time of the shooting or after the shooting occurred. This is not definitive proof, but it's getting us a lot of information that perhaps this shooting out there was an operation, and what we would classify it as a Gladio type of operation, but we would say an American Gladio operation that's meant to establish certain things about gun control in the country and to move towards a gunless society of which then the government can do anything they want to with anyone. And that's the danger of When you have force in the hands of the government and you don't have any means by which to counter that force, no guns in the hands and no weapon systems in the hands of the individual, then the individuals are virtual, slaves to that big, big government. Well, anyway, we've got a clip coming up here now. And a lady, a young girl, a student, talked about as she was leaving the building and evacuating, along comes Nicholas Cruz, and she talked to him and relates certain things about the shooting that they both realized, that she realizes that is occurring. And then also she states in there that there was shooting from different parts of that building that they were leaving. They were leaving Building 12. So she has evidence here that there was multiple shooters. Well, anyway, I want you to listen to that clip right now. Thank you for being with us.
I actually was in the bathroom at the moment, and I came back to my classroom, and I knocked on the door, and the fire alarm went off, and principal came on the speaker and just said, everyone needs to evacuate right now, so that's what we did. As I was going down the stairs, I heard a couple shots fired. Everyone was freaking out, saying that it was a gun. And as we were walking, the whole class together, I actually was speaking to the suspect, Nicholas Cruz. And as I was speaking to him, he seemed very, I don't know what the word I want to say is, but he was trouble in middle school. So I kind of joked to him about it and said, I'm surprised you weren't the one who did it. And he just gave me a huh. So, that's really what happened.
You were walking down the hall. He had already fired at that time.
Yes, sir, with him.
Weren't you scared?
In the moment, I wasn't, because there was obviously definitely another shooter involved. But.
Oh, you think he was not the only one?
No, definitely not.
Why do you say that?
Because when shots were fired, I saw him after the fact. So, and the shots were coming from the other part of the building. So there definitely had to be two shooters involved, I believe.
That's the first I've heard of that. Did you see any other students who were wounded?
No, sir.
When you begin to put this together, what the government version of it right now is not the truth. Now, what's coming up next is a teacher, a Stacy LaPelle, that was in Building 12, and she has quite a story to tell about watching a shooter only 20 feet away, dressed in very, very combat-looking garb and so forth, and that shooter came in and shot through her door. She corralled her children back into her room, but she did lose two out in the hallway and was unable to save them. But there was also a teacher next door to her, the room right next door, that was shot in the head and killed. And he did get his students in and locked the door in time, but he was a little bit later than she was. So he didn't make it, you know, and he perished. But listen to this clip very, very carefully, and then we're going to wrap it up here towards the end and make some closing comments and so forth. And then we'll wish you good luck on in the future to trying to unravel these psyops, you know, operations that are being put forward on us. But anyway, here it is, the teacher that witnessed the shooter in the hallway.
Just 1 week ago, Valentine's Day, creative writing teacher Stacy LaPelle's class was playing music, writing love letters, when the fire alarm went off. As students filed into the hallway, she heard gunfire. The killing had begun.
I was about 2 feet away from my door. All of a sudden, I heard gunshots in the stairwell, which is about 20 feet away from my room. And then kids were screaming and then running back towards me and towards the end of the hallway. So I just went in this very strange autopilot mode where I pivoted on my feet. I unlocked my door, and the kids just started pouring in my room. I don't know how many kids were in there, but I was pulling them and getting them in and shouting at them to get in the room. And then I suddenly saw the shooter about 20 feet from me, standing at the end of the hallway, actively shooting down the hallway, just a barrage of bullets. And I'm staring at him thinking, why is the police here? This is strange, because he's in full metal garb, helmet, face mask, bulletproof armor, shooting this rifle that I've never seen before. I don't know when I decided it was the right time to close the door. I grabbed the handle with both hands, and that's when I got nicked, or grazed, or whatever you call it.
So a bullet hit your arm?
Yes. As I'm closing my door, I'm shouting at my next door neighbor, Mr. Scott Beagle, to close this door. And he's the kind of man that would just keep that door open a little longer. You know, he's all about the kids, you know. But he couldn't see the shooter. I had a good visual of him, which is why I yelled at him to shut his door now.
35-year-old teacher Scott Beagle, among the 17 murdered on Marjory Stoneman Douglas's campus.
I heard him shoot a barrage of bullets into Mr. Beagle's room. And then he came to my room and shot about 4 or 5 shots into my room, breaking the glass of my door. There's a rectangular piece of glass. And I heard him continuously shooting down the hallway. And I never really knew when he left because we just thought he was still there.
Once you all were inside the classroom, you were with your students.
Yes.
Covering them, kind of like a mother hen.
Yes. Right? Clutching. I think I left fingerprints in one girl. Giving eye contact to other kids who were shaking and freaking out. And I'm mouthing, it's okay, it's okay. It was so quiet. And then all of a sudden I hear helicopters outside far, far in the distance, it seemed to me. Police officers far, far in the distance. Kids were screaming in the hallway for help. We're trained not to let anybody in the room. And I would say a good 45 minutes went by, maybe an hour. And when we heard the SWAT team come on the floor, but I still didn't trust that it was them because they were banging on the doors. Police let us in. No one got up. And then they just let themselves in and got us out. And on the way out, that's when I saw Mr. Beagle laying on the ground. And I saw my students laying on the ground. I lost 2 students and other bodies and carnage everywhere. It was the most awful sight I've ever seen. It's like from a movie.
How are you dealing, having seen this and it being very, very real?
It's awful. You know, I've never had to deal with anything like this before. I mean, I'm a stoic person to begin with. I'm not the most emotional person. And so when I sit and think and I pause about my 2 beloved students who were killed from that class, it's hard to live with. Because I love them so much, like they were my kids. I've known Meadow for since she's a 10th grader. She took my class because she wanted to have me again, my creative writing class. And Joaquin was like a son. He called me Mom. And it's heartbreaking.
What are you holding on to kind of center you and keep you moving forward and waking up every day with hope?
Well, just that I survived and we survived and we have to move on. You know, you can't sit there and cower over it. You still have a life. So we're left here on the planet for a reason. Let's do what we're supposed to do. And if we're not sure what that is, we'll figure it out, but we're alive.
And we're all thankful that she's alive, her kids as well, who attend school here. And because Stacy knew where the danger was and knew where her kids were clear across campus, she didn't worry about them, even in the midst of the shooting. But she does tell us that Joaquin, she mentioned him calling her mom, that student who died, wrote a children's book in her class, and she plans on getting it published. George?
And that would be some kind of a tribute. It's hard to imagine going back into that classroom, back into that school, but the students and teachers are preparing for it.
Yes, not into that particular building. Right now, there are talks to have that building completely demolished. But in terms of returning back to class, staff will return this weekend. The kids go back to normal class schedule next week. But Stacy has told her students, wherever we are, no matter where the classroom is, it will be home. George.
Adrian Banker, thanks very much.
We heard that from the principal as well. But Adrian, let me ask you this. You've spent quite a few days there with those students. You're about to go back to school. Just give us your impression of these young people.
They are extremely intelligent. In fact, I rode on the bus about an hour on their road to Tallahassee and talked with one of the student leaders. And they are the most brilliant young people that I've ever met. They're very passionate, but they truly are in a state of shock. Mm. And their parents are as well. And they're using this mission to kind of galvanize them during a very tough time.
There you go for some of the personal witnesses that witnessed this. And also, I want to direct everyone to our website, thesecrettruth.com. If you're listening to this, come into our website, and I want you to download that video that came out on the web. And like I said earlier in our broadcast tonight, that I did go in and look at that building, and I looked at the video. The building is painted in the right places, and there's the fire hydrant down there along the street. There's a gas, structure there on one side of the corner of the building. It just checked out real well as to making sure that building in that video was Building 12. And to me, it's pretty well conclusive that that video did contain a video with men coming out the eastern exit or entrance and exit, and they were carrying a very heavy bag too, and they loaded that into the back of a pickup and departed the scene. Now, it looks like that this particular video was from a helicopter shot. So I promulgated a number of years ago the idea of the ones. And what the idea of the ones was that you take actions anonymously alone. In other words, this came into a researcher's possession, and now it's all over the web, and you can download it off of this site this evening and look at it, you know, at your own pleasure and your own convenience. But when people act individually in an anonymous way, and they don't tell anyone that they did, but they give very, very important evidence, like this is becoming, this video is, it's not conclusive proof, but it is proof that something is amiss in this government version of what happened there. And it appears that Cruz, Nicholas Cruz, is just a setup individual to take the fall for the shooting. That's what it appears at this time. But you'd have to do more research and so forth. There was a lot of different problems with this. There was a fire alarm that went off. There was exercises that were rumored that they were having an exercise, and there would be things taking place. The individual, the students, were mixed up about these things. The CNN came in there, and they're trying to promulgate a gun control thing and do away with guns entirely. And that's that liberal thing. But they're being used by the New World Order to bring about gun control, a greater and greater amount of gun control in this country. And that's just not good for any of our freedoms, whether it's far to the left or far to the right. And we've just got to stay away from that thinking. What usually happens is that people go out after an incident like this in Florida, and they'll just buy more guns, and they get scared, and they know the value of being armed. There's inherent, it's innate within each and every individual to protect oneself, see? If I had a daughter at school, you know, away from home and at school, she'd have a gun in her apartment and know how to use it to ward off any burglars or any rapist or anyone else, you know what I mean, that might want to do her harm. And people are going out on the range. They say now, I don't go out on the range as much as I used to, but people are finding so-called liberals out there that wanting to protect themselves too, because I think everyone is in the same boat about personal security. And I believe more and more people are finding the value of being armed versus not being armed. Not being armed, you're just a sucker out there for anybody then, if somebody with a gun tries to make you do something. So being armed is the answer to protecting oneself and one's family. And you have to be careful about young children and guns. We were raised, we had guns in our household that were loaded in a chest of drawers of my parents' bedroom. And we didn't go in there and try to shoot anybody or anything. And my father had it well within reach. He could get up, walk over there, and have that gun in his hand in just a matter of a few minutes if there was a problem around our home. And so there never was, thank God. We never had burglars or anyone else that tried to do anything. But my father knew the value of being armed and protecting his family, and that's what he did. He protected us. And that's a man's job with his family. That's a very key job of every man out there, is to protect his family from the world, you know, from worldly things, you know, like that. But anyway, go in there and download this, and there was a fire alarm that they had early in the morning, then they had another one. It was right at the time that they were going to be dismissed for the day is when the shooting occurred. There was multiple shooters, it appears. now, with this video that's just come out, there's reason now to think that they held back anyone going in so that they didn't run into these shooters who were evacuating the scene of this horrendous shooting. So that could very well be the reason why the deputy sheriffs that were there on the scene earlier were not told to go in and were held back so that they could evacuate the real shooters out of the school and get away and get them out of harm's way of being arrested by their own deputies or whatever, if that's the truth. I'm not saying that that is what happened. But what I'm asking our listening audience to do is go in there and look at this video. There's just too many unanswered questions. We believe that this could be an American Gladio operation. Ole Domegaard has predicted possible problems in Houston tomorrow. There's an exercise down there, or a possible false flag that could occur on the 18th in Dallas of this month. So, and also we have in May, we have the National Rifle Association with a big, big convention of 5 acres of displays and exhibits in the convention center in Dallas, Texas. And so there may be an incident up there of some kind, just to spoil that convention. We don't know. There may be demonstrators out on the streets, because it seems like that these young people now are being used by the liberal left to foment hatred and resentment against NRA, and they're a gun lobby, but they're not the biggest lobby in Congress. There's bigger things. And when you're talking about problems in the country, how about a privately owned Federal Reserve? Is that not a big, big problem? But your liberal left, they don't talk about the money problem. They want to go out and demonize the gun itself, or they want to demonize now the NRA and try to do away with it. And these corporations that are going along with that thinking are making a big, big mistake and a big error. It's just like some of these that wanted to go in there with these transgender restrooms or whatever you want to call that. That's foolishness. And, I just don't agree with a corporate decision along those ways. You've got to stay with a traditional genders when it comes to restrooms and everything. You can't start letting men that think they're women into women's restrooms and things like that. It's just so confused today. We have a very, very confused population. They were schooled that truth is their own truth. And they were also schooled that maybe they're gods if they adhere to a new age view. So if they're gods and truth is my truth, then I can do what they damn well please, and that's what they're doing. It's a social and moral decay and chaos. And they're just caught up in a delusional system. And that delusional system is using them and controlling them, and they really have very, very little sense of really what's really going on. I mean, this thing is so horrendously evil that very, very few people in the world fully realize the hideousness and the evil that is being fomented and nurtured through these kinds of psyops. And those 17 young children and adults lost their lives to this evil. I want to thank you for everyone for listening tonight. Thank you. Good night.